B-Pod Studios.
Seth Joyner is one of my favorite people on this. Seth has a nickname for me that no one else calls me. Nearsy. And the man who knows that line better than anybody, joining us here on the Comcast Business Hotline, here in the 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by the Baxter Dumpster and Bag and yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. Our good friend, Barrett Brooks. What's up, Barrett?
Good morning, man. You just made my day.
Yeah, I know. See, you needed a some type of verbal hug after last night's game. And I figured, or yesterday's game, and I figured dropping the Nearsy line, little inside thing there, you would enjoy that.
Right. Well, you have to put, everybody has to put it in perspective. See, in the office, we used to call Farzee. We used to call Farzee.
You know,
Michael Barkell, Farzee. What you doing, Farzee? Farzee with the fans. So then, out of nowhere, you know, Seth doesn't smile. You know, he doesn't smirk. He just sits there and he just walks by when they say, hey, Nearsy. And I'm looking at him and he's looking at me. And then, you know, he's looking at Matt. And Matt turns around and says, so he walks away, giggling, walks away. So Parzell looks at me like, hey, man, what, did he play with a guy named Nizerski or something like that? Is that why he called me? I said, no, man, because Farzee, you Nearsy, now you're Farzee, Nearsy.
I never would have thought Seth Joyner would make a joke, and he made a joke, and then I laughed later when I got it.
Well, hold on, but then you're going to say, I say, hey, man. Next time, just laugh, okay? Just laugh. Trust me, just laugh.
Oh, I, you know what? We all need to laugh at some point, but my man, watching this football team is just I'll be honest, and I've said this before today, but when that game ended, I shook my head, and I laughed like an uncomfortable laugh. I laughed almost a laugh of like apathy. Like, what else did I expect? And I know you were ridiculously hot and bothered by it, and rightfully so. I saw you on post game doing a great job. Barrett, this team is just a bad football team.
Well, I mean, and that's because they're not fundamentally sound. I mean, this does have a lot to do with coaching. I still saw some loafing yesterday. Most of all, what really disappointed me, that guys, you know, they were a lot more intense than they were against the Rams. They were a lot more, you know, as far as, you know, wanting to go out there and play, but I saw this team look at their leader and saw his demeanor, and they took on what he was doing. You know, I mean, at this point, you know, you are what you play. And I saw 10 guys doing things right, and the one guy on offense that was doing wrong is the only guy who can't be wrong, and that's the quarterback. You can usually get away with it with a running back or a tight end, have a drop here, a drop there, but they can't get by the fact that they're quarterback is not having a good season. So I'm trying to equate what's going on with Carson. And I think in the long run, it has everything to do with his, you know, he says that he's confident, but he's not. You can see in his demeanor, he's not confident. Every time he makes a mistake or, you know, he comes in, he grabs that little blue book and sits off by himself. Those are things that you can't do as a leader. You have to stay intact. You got to make sure your guys are ready to follow you, whatever is going on. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to keep your head above water because people are looking at you to be the guy that, you know, was a spark plug to keep this engine running. Mm-hmm. And at this point, he's not giving them what they need.
So, Barrett, they have a slew of offensive coaches. They have a former quarterback as a head coach. They have Marty Morningwig there who's worked with a bunch of different quarterbacks. Rick Scangarello was brought in here to be creative, whatever. Press Taylor is your passing game coordinator. What do they do to get this quarterback thinking right? Because it seems like nothing they're doing is working.
It has nothing to do with the plays they're selecting. Because I'm telling you the truth, they have some nice plays in which they're creating matchups that are favorable to the offense. You know, there are a lot of times where, you know, we talk about Doug's play calling. Well, the last two games, the play calling has been well. There have been guys wide open. You know, the mere fact that we had our best offensive weapon, Miles Sanders, wide open against a linebacker on the outside, a double move. All he had to do was just put it in a bread box. And he missed it. Those are opportunities you cannot let go. You can't do it. So it's not really what the coaches are coaching as far as the schematics of the playbook. It's more so the individual not being able to go out there and execute the offense the way it's supposed to be run. You know, so, you know, you really can't say, all right, it's the X's and O's. Right now, it's the ballpoint pen that's supposed to be writing those plays or executing those plays. His pen has run out of ink at this point. You know, I don't know what he has to do to get a refill, But that ink needs to be flowing right now, and it's not.
Barrett, walk me through what Doug Peterson was thinking in the final possession for the Eagles of the overtime yesterday. I mean, they're at the 42-yard line, and he's acting like, well, let's just get to the middle of the field so that the Elliott has a perfect field goal position from 59 yards out.
I'm going to tell you, I can't give you that perspective. At no point did I think that we had it, good at that point. I mean, I understand they really have a good kicker. Yes, he's pretty good. But why not try to run the ball, Miles Sanders up the middle or somewhere in which, he can have some yards. The play selection that he had there, I'm going to say that was wrong. I understand there's a lot of confidence in his kicker. But at the end of the day, the closer you get, the better your opportunity is. But even still after that, and they turn around and they get a penalty for jumping off sides, it still doesn't change the fact I at least want to have an opportunity to kick it. Now, I understand the defense, for a better part of the game wasn't playing well, but I think that they can have stopped them, with 21 seconds left. And that's even before the kick. So probably like, 4 or 5 more seconds run off the clock. And you only need 15 seconds for them to have one or two plays to try to score. But I didn't think at any point that we made the right decisions as far as the last seconds of the game. It was, and it's just, I'm just dumbfounded that we didn't even give a shot of trying to kick the field goal. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I've seen him in practice. He kicked a 61 yarder 2 years ago, which got us pointing in the right direction.
Yeah.
Was it 3 years ago?
Three years ago.
He kicked a 61 yarder, which turned the season around against the Giants. We know he can do that. What is 3 or 4 more feet? He had enough leg on that one.
Yeah. I'm with you, Barrett. Speaking with Barrett Brooks, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Eagles pre and post, and also Barrett Tones. I know you'll be singing some good ones after this game. Now, Barrett, overall, what's being said? Does anything get said? You've been in a lot of NFL locker rooms. When a quarterback's struggling like this, when a lot of guaranteed money is about to kick in, everybody knows it, what's being said about the quarterback, you think, right now in the locker room of the Eagles?
Well, that's the problem. There's nothing being said to Carson, really. They don't want to hurt his feelings. And that's just it in a nutshell. I mean, they're not going to say anything to try to, mess with his ego. I mean, quarterbacks, all specialist type of players have fragile egos. And it's hard to really say whatever you want to say to them. And I don't know if they'll say that to Carson.
What about not to Carson? What are the players saying? I mean, Carson might not be in the room. They all see what's happening. DeSean Jackson knows, injured or not, DeSean Jackson knows what's happening. Zach Ertz knows what's happening. These wide receivers know. The offensive line knows. The defense knows. So what gets said when a quarterback's struggling like this?
I'm going to tell you, there's just nothing going to be said to Carson because he's not that type of guy. Even though he's become... we thought he was becoming a better leader over the offseason. He's still not a guy that's very approachable still. That's just who he is. And it's not that he's trying to be derogatory anyway or being, a guy, with his nose up. He's just not that type of guy. He's just not a friendly type of player. He's not an approachable type of person. Mm-hmm. And it's not a character flaw that, people can't do it. They just don't do it. Because, what type of conversation would you have with a quarterback at this point? Struggling where he's struggling. Our team doesn't have a win this year. What do you say to a guy like that? They all live in glass houses. They all could go out there and play better. But still, you can't really say anything to Carson. Just look at the demeanor that Zach Ertz had when he was overthrown. You just see the disgust in his face because he really couldn't be animated on how he really felt, knowing that his quarterback was the reason why that play wasn't executed.
And maybe this leads into what you're saying also, Barrett, but do you find it odd that he and Doug Peterson rarely, if ever, talk during a game? I don't know what Doug Peterson's doing when the defense is on the field because that's Jim Schwartz. Why are he and Doug not talking at all during a game?
I don't know. There lies the problem. There lies the question. We talk a lot about what people say to Carson, but when you're head coach, I don't know how comfortable he is or if he would even do that. I have no question that Doug runs this team. Mm-hmm. It's Doug's team. What Doug says goes. But there's still unique relationships that, I can't comprehend, that relationship that he has with with Carson. You know, I've been around a lot of teams and a lot of quarterbacks, and I've seen, you know, head coaches get in and you know, just like Ray Rhodes and Randall Cunningham. That was a toxic combination. You know, Ray Rhodes tell him, hey, get your butt in there. You know, it was a little more animated, you know, what he said, but, and play, you know, make something happen. You know, and that type of relationship. And then I've also seen coaches that, you know, would coddle their players, you know, like, oh, you know, you're going to be okay, you know. And then I've also seen, you know, like Bruce Arians get in Ben Roethlisberger's face and cuss him out and say, hey, let's go, you know, to push him in that direction. I really think, you know, that we need a quarterback coach like that, you know, to force him to be and go beyond what he's doing right now. You know, there's a way in which you could play past things, but you can get that execution going a little faster when you got somebody in your face and telling you, hey, let's go, man. You know, I don't think they have that type of coach in the staff to really do that to Carson. And I don't know how he would react, but I know when we had, you know, the first 2 years of his career, we had a quarterback coach that would get in his butt. And you see how he responded to it. He responded well to it. In fact, he had, you know, the best season he ever had.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, you know, we don't have a coach on the staff right now to go in and get in Carson's face, tell him what he's doing wrong. You know, I mean, you just need that. You need a guy that's going to get in his ass, period, point blank. That's it.
You have four, you literally have four coaches on the offensive side of this football that should be able to talk to their quarterback and get through to them. Four of them. Doug Peterson, Press Taylor, Rick Scangarello, and Marty Morningweg. None of those guys can talk to him. I'm sorry. Reach him.
There we go right there. But, all right, am I lying then?
No, you're not. What do you see? No, I see the same thing. I'm amazed that the Eagles go out of the box and try to bring in Scangarello, try to bring back Marty Morningweg, elevate Press Taylor, Carson's guy, and still have Doug Peterson here. Yeah, oh, Deuce Daly's also here, and none of those five names can reach the quarterback. That's a quarterback problem then. If those guys can't get through to you, then you're helpless at that point. And watching him play, he looks like a guy who's helpless, Barrett. Now, but here's the thing. There's got to be some kind of drastic change. I don't think the quarterback's getting benched. I don't think the coach is getting fired or anything like that. What is something drastic that you need to see happen in this Eagles offense to make it get going?
No, I mean, I think we need a Taysom Hill. I think we need to talk about that. Ooh. How about we bring in a guy on certain occasions in which we have that we draft in the second round? Be that type of quarterback. You know, when you start cutting down on plays and you start seeing a guy going out there and performing and executing the offense, then you know, gets a little pressure on you. You know, right now he has no real pressure on him.
Mm-hmm.
But put a little pressure on him, you know. And plus we could use that type of freshness in our offense. You know, give the defense more something to look at. See, that's exactly what Jalen Hurts does. He makes the defense stay, you know, within their roles, within the framework of their defense. You know, you can't go out there and play beyond what you are because Jalen Hurts will make you pay for it with his arm and with his legs. I think his arm more so than his legs. He showed me in camp he has a very accurate arm at this point. So put him in there. Give him some opportunities, more opportunities, to try to get this offense going. A fresh set of eyes on a younger guy who, you know, has shown the ability to go out there and make plays. He did it all through camp. You know, let's have a little bit of that in the offense.
Right.
You know, I mean, I know I go back and forth with the guys on the set about, you know, yeah, them putting in Jalen Hurts and, you know, what he brings to the table. I did a breakdown yesterday on it. But in all actuality, it stresses the defense having a player like that. That's the way the NFL is going at this point. You know, look at Lamar Jackson. You know, guys like that. You have to account for Kyler Murray. You have to account for him. Everybody say, oh, it's not the same player. We're not making him the same player. We're not making him a Taysom Hill. But what we are doing is making sure he comes in and stretches the defense. Now they have to play responsible football. You know, they can't have defensive ends just crashing down like they have against Carson because he can boot it out. The run pass option is an opening. You know, they can do a lot of things with him and which will open up the offense. And once I think he sees that, once Carson sees that, he's like, man, I better get my stuff straight. I got to go out there and really ball because this kid can really come in and make a difference.
Yeah.
And we all know the backup quarterback is always the best, you know, the most famous player on the team. He comes in and rallies. Nick Foles has done it before.
Mm-hmm. I know we watched that. And we watched Jimmy Butler make the NBA Finals. So all things are great in Philadelphia.
I mean, is this crazy, man? I mean,
nuts.
Come on, man. I mean, in the perfect scenario, the Phillies, all they have to do is win. That's all they got to do is win. And we're talking Phillies baseball again.
Yeah, man.
But no, what happened?
What happens?
You can't have nice things, Bart.
Nothing else.
Yeah, yeah. We're sitting here sucking at everything. That's what we're doing, unfortunately. Barrett, you know I love you, buddy. Buddy, thanks so much. Tell Seth Nearsy said hello.
I definitely will. Have a good one, guys.
All right, buddy.
All right, see you, man. Take it easy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.